You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you very much for joining us here for hour two of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. Well, this is a pretty exciting hour for Tim and I, as you know, that we've had the opportunity of having the celebrities of just about every paranormal TV show out there right now. We've had the good friends from The Ghost Hunters, Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, and right now we're proud to mention that we are going to have with us for the next hour, we're going to have Yvette Fielding and Carl Beatty from the TV show Most Haunted. For those of you that are still living in a cave and aren't familiar with that show, it's on the Travel Channel, and this Friday, June 1st, they're doing the first ever live event from the United States. They're going to be at Eastern State Penitentiary, and they're going to be doing a live event there, a live hunt. It'll be a 7-hour televised event that will also be broadcast on the internet. So this is a pretty big task that they're taking on, and we'd like to welcome to the show Yvette Fielding and Carl Beatty. Good evening, and thank you very much for joining us here.
Good evening, guys. I have to tell you, we're traveling across the motorway system in England, and it's pouring with rain here. It's really, really miserable. So Carl's driving the car, and I'm the passenger, so it's a real honor to be with you guys this evening. But it's horrible here in England, but we're on our way. We're traveling over to the United States. We're ready to get the aeroplane over to come over there with you guys.
Well, great. We're looking forward to having you out here, and that sounds like an exciting show. Now, we haven't had the opportunity of seeing any of the live events here in the United States. I know that you do this at least once or twice a year from the UK, right, where you've done the live events?
Yeah, quite a few of the shows that we do in England, the live shows. We do about 2-3 a year, and sometimes I do know that the Travel Channel have actually taken the live feed so that the Most Haunted fans in America can actually watch it. So there has been, I think the last show we did, which was shown in America, was in Edinburgh. It came from the Edinburgh Vault.
Oh, that's right.
Which was a horrific experience. It was absolutely terrifying, and I had to take 2 weeks off because I was just so frightened by the whole incident, and the whole team were really petrified by what went on there. So for us to come over to America, it's a first for us. We're so excited, but at the same time, every single crew member has been having nightmares. We've been having strange dreams, and just a really kind of very nervous, very apprehensive feeling about the whole show to come. I mean, 7 hours in the Eastern State Penitentiary. Myself and Carl, we went to have a look at the place for a recce, and it's just the most unbelievable location. We had some new American crew members with us, and they couldn't believe the banging and the knocking noises that were happening whilst we were just having a look round.
Was that their knees, though, Yvette?
Was that their what, sorry?
I said, was that their knees, all that knocking? You guys sound afraid to go into this place.
Oh, I swear, it was really loud, and we've got, wait till you see the sound guy on our new team for America. We called him Shaggy because he looks just like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, and when he had his boom microphone, he was picking up these banging noises, and I was asking out, saying, you know, if you're there, knock twice for yes, once for no, and this bang, bang, underneath the concrete floor, and this wonderful guy that we called Shaggy just turned around and he went, is this for real? Oh my God! I just started shaking and just wanted out of there. He was absolutely petrified. But we've managed to persuade him to come back and be part of the team for our 7-hour investigation. So he's very nervous, and I don't know how long he's going to last. So I think we're going to have a backup plan of another backup sound guy just in case he runs out screaming.
I'll send out my producer and co-host Tim. He does excellent sound work. How about that?
Oh great! No, the more the merrier. We've got a lot of ground to cover in 7 hours, so it should be really frightening, but very good fun at the same time.
Well, let me start back for a lot of the American viewers who have not found your show yet or are not familiar with your show. Now, you started off on a children's show in the UK, correct? And then you've kind of worked in television most of your life, is from what I've read online. Is that correct?
Yeah, I started when I was 13. I did a drama series for 2 years for the BBC. I did that. I went to theatre school. Then I went to college, studied in film and media. And then I was a host of lots of different television programs for different channels in the UK. And I met my husband, Carl Beatty, whilst we were doing one of these programs. And it was a hospital-based program. We were sort of doing live shows from inside the hospital. And Carl was a cameraman on that. And I saw him and I thought, cool, who is that? He's gorgeous. So I kind of pestered him and chased him for a while. And in the end, he ended up proposing to me. And the rest is history. And we both came up with the idea of Most Haunted. Funny.
Oh, we're cutting out on us a little bit here, Yvette. Hopefully we'll be able to rectify this as we're going along. For those of you listening, you're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Our guests are from England, and they are two of the main hosts of Most Haunted. We have Yvette Fielding and Carl Beatty, and they are driving right now in transit in England with the pouring rain. They're still kind enough to get on the phone with us here. Are you back with us, Yvette?
Hello?
Hello. Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you great now. Thanks.
Okay.
So you two met. Now, what did you start off as when you were younger? Did you have paranormal experiences? Is that what led you into getting involved and doing a show about this?
No, I've always been terrified of, from being a child, you know, of the paranormal, of ghosts, anything to do with that. I've never seen the film The Exorcist. I won't watch horror movies. I think they absolutely terrify me. And if I didn't do Most Haunted, I wouldn't watch it because I'd be just too frightened to watch it. So it was the most bizarre thing where it was almost Carl and myself can't explain it. We just found ourselves in this bizarre situation where we thought up this idea. And it just seemed to happen, and it's just grown over the last 7 years. We just thought, hey, let's get a bunch of people, a camera crew, let's go and spend the night in a haunted place and see what happens. And that's exactly what we did. And every single TV station in the UK said, when we showed them the tapes, they just said, no, this will never work. Ghost programs don't work. The paranormal doesn't work. And Carl and I had put all our life savings into this project. And I remember standing in our front room at home crying, going, we've got no money and nobody wants this show. And which was really nerve-wracking. And then it was just a friend of ours who happened to work at the station in the UK that Most Haunted is airing on at the moment. He took a look at it and said, no, this is really good. And Most Haunted was born. So we did the first series off one computer on our dining room table, and myself and Carl researched it and did everything. So it's And we only ever thought it would ever do one season. We never thought, I mean, we're up to season 10 now here. We're about to film season 10 in the UK. And never in a million years did we ever think we'd be coming over to the United States. It's just a dream come true. So we feel we've only really touched, you know, scraped the surface with this subject. There's so much more to do and so many other places to travel in the world.
Well, I agree. I mean, it's an amazing subject. People are so drawn to it, I think, because so many of us are touched by it in one way or another. With the show that you've been doing, as you just mentioned, that you're going on your 10th season of doing the show, and, you know, I mean, no disrespect by this at all, but you seem just as jumpy now as you did in the first couple seasons. Hasn't it started to, you know, policemen and firemen and people involved in hospital work, they start to become numb to the field that they work in, where the violence and the weirdness and the blood starts to just, you know, they're not affected by it as much. But it still seems 10 seasons in that when you hear a knocking or a pounding, you're still as jumpy as you were in the first season. Why are you still so impeded by the paranormal? I mean, what do you feel is still so frightening for you when you're doing this?
It's very interesting you say that. Quite a few people say that to me, but just recently I've got a heck of a lot better, and I've become very bossy, and I think you'll see that on this live show. I've got a lot braver, as I say, just recently, but I can't go anywhere on my own. I'd be absolutely petrified to do it. I'm all brazen and bossy and telling everybody to sit down and shut up and be quiet and, you know, because we're trying to listen out for things. But, you know, going somewhere on my own, in a dark room on my own, I'm sorry, I'd just lose it completely, because I've experienced, in the years that I've been doing this, very frightening things. I've had a man whisper, you know, a horrible guttural laugh in my ear, which we managed to record on my radio mic. And the scientists in the UK can't fathom out what this laughter is. They can't figure out what the sound is. And I keep thinking, and that was when there were a few people in the room. So can you imagine if I was on my own and I heard that? I think I'm going to end up in the local knock house, you know? So I prefer to work with a team, you know, the Most Haunted Investigation team. But I have been very guilty of jumping and being frightened. But I feel, you know, in the last few months, I've got so much better and a lot braver, because I think I'm working with Dr. Kieran O'Keefe, who's a parapsychologist, in my opinion, one of the best in the world. And he's taught me a heck of a lot. You know, he's calmed me down and, you know, taught me to look at the rational side of things as well. So that has really helped. But it's, you know, people, you know, it's like other members of the crew, like Carl Beatty and Stuart Torrevel, you know, I don't know how they do it. They go off on their own down these little tunnels where it's pitch black. You can't see a hand in front of their face. They feel hands on their faces. They get scratched on their back and on their faces. And I think, you're bonkers. You're completely mad. Why do you want to do that to yourself? Stay in a group. You know, and I hate it. It's that really Scooby-Doo moment when everybody goes, let's split up.
Well, that is, that's what's been so funny to me is watching that part. Now, that's one of the things that's, you know, my favorite part of the show is that you guys are a lot more real. Not that I'm picking on any of the other shows. I love all the other shows that are out there. But watching you guys are a lot more how I feel I would be with my friends if we were out doing the investigation. A little bit more jumpy than all the cool edits and the, you know, the tough guy act. You know, watching that stuff, any of that is kind of crazy to me. We do live events here where we go with our listeners to places all around the United States, and we go with between 100 to 250 listeners. We've had some amazing experiences happen in front of large groups of people. So,
wow.
I'm aware of that, but now being in the one-on-one, like you're mentioning, where you're maybe one or two of you doing that, it's got to be a lot more frightening. And I would guess the hauntings you go to, you get a lot more background and a lot more understanding and research than a lot of people do when they go into these places to investigate. So do you believe that it's the stories that you've heard and the you know, the terrified look and the expressions of the people that have done this that have actually started to inject themselves into you? Do you think that adds to your fear before you even get there?
I definitely think so. I think knowing about the history of the location, knowing about the hauntings, and also if there's been a, you know, horrific deaths, murders, that sort of thing. You know, and then you walk around. We walk around with our medium, David Wells, we walk around the location, and he says things like, oh my God, you know, I don't want to go in there. Somebody killed themselves, or somebody was murdered in this room. They're still here. They're very aggressive. And then they're like, hi, Yvette, do you want to go down in that room later on at 3 o'clock in the morning, completely on your own in the dark? Yeah, sure. I don't think so. But people like Carl and Stuart will do that. I think answering the other part of the question, which is, you know, other shows, you know, don't feel as real, or you know, that sort of thing. I think the reason for that is because Most Haunted, we don't do it for television. We're actually doing a genuine investigation, and the cameras happen to be there. If we were to film it as a television program, and many people have tried in the UK and they failed, and that's why they failed, because they're making it for television. We don't do that. We just do what we do. We do our vigils. We split up into groups. We do our Ouija boards. We do our seances, and we film it. And if stuff happens, stuff happens. And if it doesn't, then we've got to stay there. It doesn't matter what time it is in the morning, until we get something. We're not going to leave until we get something. And that's one of the reasons why I think it works. The other, I think, is because we really are genuinely interested in the paranormal as a group. And, you know, as you know, dating back to the Victorian times, when there was sitting circles, more paranormal activity will occur if the same group of people, week in, week out, for years, do a sitting circle, so they'll do a seance. They have more of a connection, more energy, therefore more paranormal activity will occur. And I think that's one of the reasons why stuff happens to us. We get a lot of people saying to us, look, we go out in these ghost investigations and we don't get stones being thrown at us. We don't get voices. We don't get half the stuff you get. Therefore, you must fake it. And it's like, well, no, how long have you been doing your ghost group for? How long have you been doing your investigations? Well, for 6 months. And do you use the same people? Well, no, we have different people coming in. And I say, well, there you go. Then try it the other way and you might have more luck. So those are my reasons why I think Most Haunted works.
All right, so you feel that it's more of like an attunement with a group. You guys are like a finely honed team, and do you believe that, I mean, which makes so much sense to us. All the experts that we've spoken about on our show in the last couple of years here have told us that once you open yourself up to the paranormal, it seems to come through to you more, you know, more fluidly. So because you've kept the same core group of people, you feel that you've kind of tuned in this really good little team, and that's what keeps the abilities of getting all the great evidence that you get.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do another show for another station. It's basically where I take a group of celebrities around haunted locations, and they get really spooked. But I use the same group of people for Most Haunted, but they're behind the cameras, and they are there purely to act as a almost as a magnet to get the energy going. And it's worked so far, you know, and these celebrities that are going around with us are sort of like, my God, you know, what's happening? And it would worry me a little bit. It would be sort of like having my left arm taken off if I didn't have the backup of my investigation team, their family, and things seem to happen when we're together. It's very strange.
Well, you've been doing the show for 10 years. What are some places that you have not gotten into yet that you'd really like to investigate?
I know it's been done many times before, but I know I can speak for Carl as well, which we'd love to be able to spend the night in Alcatraz. And we've tried to get in there, but found it very, very difficult. They won't shut it down for us. They won't let us stay there overnight, which is a real shame. So that's one of the places that we would really love to go. Also, the Winchester House as well, the very famous house where the lady just kept adding rooms and rooms and rooms because she thought it was all cursed. That, to me, would be fantastic. And to do a seance in the room that she used to do seances in would be amazing. Salem, Carl's just mouthing Salem to me, which is right. We'd love to go there. And we've also found anything to do with witches and curses, things like that, are really, truly terrifying. And we get some very good results from the historical side of witches. So anywhere that witches have been in the past, there seems to be this sort of very dark energy that surrounds it, where you can pick up on that. So that's the sort of thing that we'd be interested in.
Great. And now you've hit a good part of the UK doing this. Are you making any plans to go to places like Russia or China or any of the other countries where they have a rich paranormal history as well?
We want to go anywhere where there's a good paranormal history. Obviously, you know, that's down to the channels. It's down to Discovery Travel Channel. If, you know, if they were, you know, want us to go there. My sort of favorite one at the moment that I would just adore to do is, of course, Egypt. To actually go and spend the night and be shut in the tombs, the pyramids, would be amazing. Can you imagine doing a Ouija board with all the hieroglyphics and seeing what you get? I mean, wow, that would just be amazing. So that's something that we're looking at. And traveling all over the world, absolutely, definitely, that's something that we want to do.
Great. Well, you know what? We're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll be back with more. Stick with us. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. The Travel Channel is going to broadcast an unprecedented 7 straight hours live on Friday, June 1st from 8 p.m. through Saturday, June 2nd at 3 a.m. Eastern Time, as presenter Yvette Fielding and spiritual medium David Wells and the rest of the Most Haunted team conduct their live investigation of Eastern State Penitentiary. You can go to our website at darknessradio.com, click on the show tab, you'll be able to click the link so that you can go read more about this exciting adventure. We're going to be back with more right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I gotta pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
When Dave was a young boy, he once awoke to find himself staring directly into the eyes of a shadow person. Turns out it was just his life-size cardboard cutout of Donny Osmond.
Go away and go. Go away and go.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, here with you every Sunday night. Our guest this evening is Yvette Fielding from the TV show Most Haunted on the Travel Channel, and they are going to be doing a live broadcast from Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia this Friday, June 1st, from 8 p.m. through Saturday, June 2nd at 3 a.m. Eastern Time. They're going to be going through there with spiritual medium David Wells and the rest of the Most Haunted team to conduct their investigation, and the Most Haunted Live U.S. experience will be extended online with multiple cameras streaming live images from select areas within the prison. Users are going to be able to actively participate in the broadcast by posting paranormal sightings, well wishes for the team, suggestions on rooms to investigate, and predictions and premonitions on the boards through text messaging and faxing psychic art. Selected user-submitted content will be presented during the interactive segments of the event, as well as scroll across the bottom of the screen during the live investigation. A downloadable ghost detector application will also be available for mobile phones. It's designed to detect subtle changes in electromagnetic fields, which is believed to indicate paranormal activity. For all the information on this, just go to our website, click on the Most Haunted Live link, or on the pictures of Yvette or Carl, and it'll take you right to the websites and give you all the updated information there. We're going to go back to the show right now, where our guest is Yvette Fielding. Thank you very much again for being here with us. We appreciate you spending the time on this rainy evening for you.
Oh, not at all. I'm loving it. It's very exciting listening to you talking about it all and what's going to be going on. It's unbelievable. We're all very excited. excited about coming over to the United States.
Well, and you know, we would like to also extend to you and Carl and David as well that as we do these live events throughout the United States, we'd love to have the three of you join us for an event in the future and get a chance to meet, you know, about 250 fans and hang out and do a live investigation with them as well sometime.
That would be fantastic. We would love to.
Great. We will definitely work that out.
It's a day.
All right. We're going to hold you to that. Now, let's talk a little bit. You guys are kind of the first in the field with doing what you're doing on these shows. Have you done research and watched the other shows like Ghost Hunters, Dead Famous, which I know ran out in England as well, Haunting Evidence, Psychic Detectives? What are your thoughts on the other TV shows that are out there?
Without naming any names, I think a lot of the other shows are very good. I've enjoyed some of them. But I get frustrated sometimes, as I do with Most Haunted as well, you know, when we're sort of sitting in the edit and watching the show back. And you just always want that little bit more. You always want that extra camera shot. You always want, you know, more locked off cameras. You want the medium to be doing something else. So I think what's out there all adds to the whole sort of pot of paranormal programming, and it just shows how popular the whole subject is becoming, because it's becoming more and more popular worldwide. So for me, you know, it can only be a good thing to heighten everybody's awareness of the paranormal and bring it to the forefront of programming and broadcasting.
Definitely. Now, we've talked on this show many times, you know, with the advent of Most Haunted, Ghost Hunters, Dead Famous, Haunting Evidence, Psychic Detectives, Medium, Ghost Whisperer, Supernatural. Right now, this is kind of crazy about the amount of TV shows that are out there covering the paranormal field. I know it's huge here in the United States. I'm not as familiar with the BBC television programming out there. Has the paranormal caught on as large out there? Are you having a lot of these shows hit and do as well in your markets as they're doing here in the United States?
There are quite a few of them, but no, it hasn't caught on as much as it has in the States. There is an interest, there's a massive interest in Most Haunted. But for instance, the BBC, they don't have programming like Most Haunted or paranormal programs. They might make a documentary once or twice a year about the subject, but that's it. They won't have anything like Most Haunted or any of the other shows that you mentioned. It's mostly sort of cable channels that take on the paranormal. ITV, that's the sort of other main channel that we have in England. We're doing a show for them with the celebrities that I mentioned earlier on, you know, and that's very popular. But whether that's because the fans want to see celebrities jumping and screaming, or whether it's the paranormal they're interested in, we're not quite sure yet. It's early days. But
now, yeah, are the celebrities? If I could ask real quick, the celebrities, yeah, that you're doing that with, are they global celebrities, or are they basically celebrities that are well known in the UK?
The majority of them are, for the first series, are celebrities in the UK, but we're in talks at the moment with the Osbournes, and we're hoping to take them to Sicily, to some catacombs in Sicily, where, you know, they're going to be absolutely terrified. I've just looked at the pictures of this place, and it's on the website. If you look up catacombs in Sicily, and it has all these mummified dead bodies hanging on the wall, and it's the most horrific thing you've ever seen. But that's something that we're in talks with at the moment.
Mummified dead bodies. Aren't you already bringing Ozzy into this?
Yeah, he could have a really good conversation,
couldn't he? That was a little spooky. Well, that'll be interesting. Hopefully they're going to start showing that. Have they talked to you about bringing that show over to the United States like they did with Most Haunted?
Well, yeah, I mean, that basically, because Carl and I own the rights to that particular show, we just have to find a channel in the United States that would like to air it. So we're definitely looking at having chats and talks with a variety of different channels over in the States with regards to that show.
I don't know if they aired this for you in Europe, but we did a show over here called the Celebrity Paranormal Project on VH1. Did you have a chance to see that at all?
I didn't. I heard about it. Hear about it.
You know, it gets beat up quite a bit. I thought it was fun for what it was. It was definitely just made for entertainment. You can definitely tell that there was some what's the word I want to look for here, Tim? There was definitely some help from the production crew, I think, in scaring the celebrities because you could, you know, they were picking up sounds that were audible on the microphones that every other paranormal show never heard when they were there. It was good entertainment value for that. But I was just wondering if your show was similar to that in the vein that you make them do specific things, or do you just have them involved in the investigation with you while you do the show?
It's interesting because when the celebrities turn up, they actually say, "You're not going to fake anything, are you?" We say, "No, that's something that we've never done and we won't do with you. Everything that you see and everything that you experience is real." So we get them, we take them to three different haunted locations in an evening, and we do Ouija boards, we do seances, and we build up to something really awful for them to do. We had a group of actors who are famous over here in a soap, similar to Coronation Street. I know that Coronation Street is shown over in the United States. So it's a soap drama similar to that. And these poor guys, underneath this massive castle, there was a maze of pitch black tunnels and some cellars. And the ghost of a monk has been seen in there many, many times, but only the top half of him. So, of course, what I did was, is there were five of them, and I said, "Each of you are going to have to go down into the cellar completely on your own with a night vision camera. When you get to the bottom, call out and we'll send the next person." They didn't realize it took them about between 5 and 10 minutes for them to actually walk the whole length of the tunnels on their own in the dark.
Wow.
And they were crying and they were really very frightened. When they got to the bottom, I joined them and I started calling out. And what I found is, and if anybody's listening, please, please, please try this during a ghost investigation because it seems to be working. Take some marbles and put some numbers on them. So put a marker like number one, number two, number three. Say if you have four marbles and talk out and say, you know, "There's somebody here, please watch. I'm going to throw a marble. Please can you throw it back or throw something back?" And every time I've done this, and you throw it into an empty room so you know that there's no one there, every time I've thrown a marble, it's come back. And that, for me, I did this with the actors, and they, well, you could have scraped them off the wall with a scraper. They were clinging like cats to the walls. They were just absolutely terrified to see these objects, you know, coming back at them.
Can I ask then, Yvette, when you're doing that type of experience, is that why Derek isn't going to be on anymore? Has he lost his marbles?
I don't know if Derek's lost his marbles. Basically, there were some credibility issues between Derek and the Most Haunted program. So
right, and I wanted to touch on that, right, because, I mean, especially here, and you'll find it in the press as you get closer to it, as I'm sure you're already aware, the skepticism in the paranormal, especially on TV, is so high because so much can be faked with all the editing and special effects. And I know, now, maybe you can help us out with this too, and I mean, no disrespect to you, because every one of the shows comes under fire in one way or another. But the rumors that we were hearing consistently was that Derek's good friend Sam was nothing more than an earpiece that was feeding him information. Now, is that the rumors that were going on in Europe as well? And how can you answer to something like that?
All I can say is I'm not aware that he had an earpiece or anything like that. All I know is that our parapsychologist, Dr. Kieran O'Keefe, his PhD is in testing mediums and psychics. That's what he does. And he's tested David Wells, he's tested, and he tested Derek. And unfortunately, Derek didn't come out very well with these tests. So there was a credibility issue, and we just decided to move on and use David Wells, which we find to be very credible as a medium. And so, of course, we went our separate ways. And that's what the whole program is about. Because most people, or a lot of people that watch the paranormal programming, a lot of people will say, well, they're going to make things up. They're going to fake it because it's a television program. That's a logical thing. You know, I would think that, you know, if as a producer and I was watching it, I'd think, oh, come on. But and we expect that to happen. Myself and Carl don't get angry about it. We think, well, that's normal. That's what, you know, everybody will probably think.
Well, what seems so strange to me watching the show on so many occasions, and I mean, which blows me away. I mean, the psychic ability, and I don't know if you feel that you have some psychic ability yourself, but it's so hard to convey over television because we are a cynical group now, you know, and there is so much misinformation given. You know, and the things that would blow me away when you'd have Derek in a room was you guys do a fascinating and a fabulous job at the beginning of each episode giving the history of where you're researching, what you're checking into, and giving the background. And then I know that the psychics and mediums that you work with are not supposed to have this information. And there were times Derek would walk into a room, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a name like Tom or Carl or Yvette that he was picking up. It was, you know, Sir Twiggly Top and Middle Bottom. It was like, how the hell could he come up with this name? And it was very, you know, I mean, dead on with what you guys had said. And that, I think that's where people like myself had so much skepticism. It was, how can you pull a name that clearly and so obscure? And it was always some of, you know, it wasn't Reginald or Thomas or anything. It was always some really insane name that he pulled out, and he was dead on with it.
That's right, and that's what Dr. Kieran O'Keefe became very intrigued by, and so hence that's why he began his investigations into Derek. And I have to say, he was very professional about it, because even Carl and I didn't know anything about it until he came to us and the channel with all the evidence in front of him, and he said, look, you know, I'm not happy about this. You know, I'm a professional person, I'm a parapsychologist, you need to know all these things.
Right.
And everything was laid out in front of us, and, you know, as I say, that's when we decided, we thought, you know, we are wanting to do a credible investigation, we have to continue in a credible way, because there's no point continuing. And Carl and myself wouldn't want to do a program, an investigation, where you're faking it. What the hell's the point in doing
exactly.
that? There isn't any. So, of course, that's where, you know, Derek went and did his own thing. And I think David Wells, who is, you know, he's not being possessed. He's not throwing himself all over the room. He's going about contacting spirits in a very quiet, very you know, very disciplined way, and I think he's a very credible medium. And I know Dr. Kieran O'Keefe is very impressed with the way he goes about things.
Now, were you worried at all, though, by testing Derek, who's been a stable member of your team for so long, and I use the word stable very loosely, but being a part of your team for so long, and then saying, well, maybe we have credibility issues, were you afraid that that would hurt the outcome of your show going forward, that if you fell for somebody that could be faking it in the past, how do we know that this isn't going to happen again in the future?
I absolutely agree. And when we found out about it, Carl and I were sort of thinking, oh, my God, you know. And we also felt, you know, very let down as well, because this is some, you know, not just, you know, this is someone who, you know, who you take into your almost like a family. You're working,
right.
you know, many, many hours for a long period of time, and you put your trust into that person. So for us, it was a real punch to the stomach when we found out. There were a few tears, I can tell you, and we were very upset. And of course, it does make you think when you get new team members in, now hang on a minute, you know, are they going to be messing about? Are they going to do something wrong? But, you know, that's why we have people like Dr. Kieran O'Keefe, because he's so on his guard now, especially after, you know, what happened with Derek. We make sure that everybody is tested, that everybody's put through the mill before they come on the show now. It's lovely to have Dr. Kieran O'Keefe there.
Well, do you believe yourself, with all the years that you've known Derek, do you believe that he actually has ability, but that he's maybe gotten lazy, or that he just, to make it look better for TV and to help his celebrity, he did research on his own? Or what exactly is the allegation that's being, you know, that kind of kept him from being on the show?
Obviously, I can't say too much, but my personal opinion, and this is my own personal opinion, and people have obviously the right to disagree with it, it's only an opinion, is that I do not think that Mr. Okora was in touch with spirits. I don't.
Okay.
And that's my personal opinion.
All right, great. Well, I appreciate you being open with us on that. We're going to take one more quick break here, Yvette, and then we're going to come back for the last segment of the show. Thank you all for tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, where our guest is Yvette Fielding from TV's Most Haunted. This week, they're going to have a live event. Make sure that you tune in on the Travel Channel starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time through Saturday, June 2nd at 3 a.m. to watch a live paranormal investigation with the team from Most Haunted. We'll be back with more right after this.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, when she moves, she moves.
Thank you.
Wasted by the way she...
Thank you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd...
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
...and the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
Do you hear loud moans and banging on your walls? Next time, pay for the better hotel room.
Oh, no more Yankee, my winky. The donga needs food.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with your hosts, Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, as always, my lovable and cuddly and affable assistant, Mr. Tim Dennis, co-host and producer extraordinaire. And our guest this evening is Yvette Fielding from the TV show Most Haunted on the Travel Channel. They're going to be doing a live event this Friday, June 1st, that will run through Saturday, June 2nd at 3 a.m. You can watch it live, not only on TV, but you can also interact with them with your cell phones by texting and watching them online through the website. So you're going to want to check that out and get the information from our website. And then Travel Channel as well has the information right up there. So check that out. Please be a part of it. Looks like it's going to be pretty exciting. Before we went to break, we were talking to Yvette a little bit about the changes that have taken place on the show and the fact that Derek Acora will not be a part of the new seasons. I know we're still wrapping up. I think we're a season behind here in viewing, so we still have episodes with Derek airing here, but next year it'll be more heavily into David Wells, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, if it's all right with you, I'd like to pass you over to Carl Beatty, who obviously is the director and producer of the show, and he
certainly
can probably enlighten you a little bit more. So it's over to Carl.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hello, Carl. Thank you for joining us here on the show.
Thank you very much for having us.
I appreciate it. I hope you're in a little bit of a calmer area where it's not raining as hard while you're driving now.
No, I've had to pull over to drive because it's now against the law here in the UK to actually be on a mobile phone while you're driving. So it's like a $60 fine.
That's not good. Yeah, good idea to pull over then. Well, let's talk. I did have one other question, and we were talking to Yvette, and I'm sure you're hearing the answers from her side of things about the dismissal of Derek Acora on the show.
Uh-huh.
One question I'm curious about is, was it all of the gossip that seemed to be getting so much bigger and bigger and bigger that perhaps he was a fake? Is that what led to the testing? Or had the gossip not been there, would Derek Acora still be a part of the show?
No, I think that when Kieran came on board, because Kieran's, as you've said, part of his PhD was in testing mediums and psychics, and part of him being on it was to have free range in testing any medium that we had on the show, and he did. He tested everyone, every single medium we've had on that show. He's done some sort of test, and with all this, some have fallen into the traps, but not. Not as deeply as Derek did, and are you aware of what those traps were?
No, I'm not. If you'd like to enlighten us.
They start off with anagrams. What Kieran would do would be leave a piece of paper with a name on and a description about a pretend ghost. One of them was a guy called Creed Kafer, which was in a jail that we were investigating, and Creed Kafer is actually an anagram of Derek Faker. And later on that evening, he actually got possessed by this character and started running around. So we didn't know it at the time. We thought, crumbs, he's been possessed by a South African jailer called Creed Kafer, which you know, when you hear about it later on, it is quite comical, but extremely concerning, because it was a violent possession. You know, he was knocking things over and running around.
Well, sure, he was being possessed by himself. That's got to be hard on a guy, Carl.
Yeah, I've talked to myself, but I've never been possessed by myself. You know? And I think the other thing is, there's a song, Rick Edels, which is an anagram of Derek Lies, and he, you know, he wasn't possessed by the guy, but he saw the ghost. And it was a well-known Cornish highwayman. There's never been a well-known Cornish highwayman called Rick Edels, but he spells the name out as well. So he's clearly, he's read it, or someone's given him that information. And the trouble is that you have to trust people, as right. We did. You know, I'd never met him before. I started doing this show, so I didn't know whether I believed in them or disbelieved in them. I'd never met one, but you have to trust people, and I think generally the human race is a good thing. They are good people generally, so therefore you have to trust them at that, and you can only take that trust away when it's proved otherwise. And I think for us it was, we had to make a choice whether, you know, what we were trying to do, and we've always tried to make sure that the show was credible, honest, and above board in every way.
Well, I give you a lot of credit for the fact that if you found that you had the liar in your midst, that it was dealt with quickly and efficiently, and that you guys are on to bigger and better things. And I have witnessed episodes online that I've been able to track down to watch with David Wells, more in control of the show. I mean, the psychic aspect, and I will say that he's a lot easier to watch than Derek. Yeah. Derek was. It didn't seem to have that same flamboyant showmanship to it. It was a lot more of a guy that seemed to really be getting in touch with the emotions and feeling of the situation, and relating, you know, making a little bit more normal looking, if you will. That's still a crazy ability to be able to speak to the dead or see the dead. But I get a much better feel from him just watching the few episodes that I've been able to watch with David Wells.
I think if you're into theatrics and funny voices, then, you know, Derek's your man. And if you're not into the paranormal, then, you know, watch Derek. But if you're
Carl, don't sugarcoat it, man. Tell me what you really think.
the trouble is, you know, I've got a great deal of respect for David, because, you know, he sees a lot of things, and this he won't tell us until afterwards because it's too horrific. And you think. Sure. That's kind of, you know, that would be great if you'd said that on camera, but his point is, I'm not here to be great on camera. I'm here to give you information and stuff that I'm seeing. And, you know, regardless whether you believe in mediums or not, I think that's an extremely credible thing to be doing. He's not bigging himself up over what he's seeing.
Well, Carl, I know you're a producer here. I'm going to give you a quick idea on a great TV show. Cool. I think you need to have celebrity boxing, Derek Acora versus David Wells.
Hey, well, I'll tell you, I've been teaching David some pretty good martial arts moves. I think it'll be over in round one.
And let me ask you this then, Carl. Now, when you started with this show idea, had you had paranormal experiences in your life growing up as well?
Well, the weird thing was, there was one strange thing when I was a child. My brother and I saw something in our home. I was no more than seven. My brother was 10. He's 3 years older than me. And one night, we both got up at different times. I thought I saw a man in our corridor of our house in what I described 1930s outfit. My brother, in the morning, said he saw a similar thing at a different part of the house, and he described it as a Humphrey Bogart outfit. Now, the house was then a fairly newish house. It was built in the mid-60s. It's not built on anything that it shouldn't have been built on. And yet, we both saw the same thing on the same night, only once. Hmm. Never before and never since. Now, that's quite strange.
He was just passing through, sweetheart.
Yeah, looking for the Maltese Falcon. I mean, exactly. I wish I could find it. It'd be worth a fortune. But later on, I bought a Victorian house, which was my first house in a place called Guildford, in the south of England. And some weird things were happening then. But it always happened when I got a letter for the lady who used to live in the house.
Sure.
And I found out later on that she'd actually died in my dining room, which is the only room in the house that never got warm.
So that's interesting.
Strange things happen, but nothing like happens now. I think I'd have ended up in an asylum.
Right. Now you sound like you're you come from a more skeptical background of what you believe. You don't fall for everything as well. What was the first episode? What was the first show that you really filmed for Most Haunted that you stood back and you said, holy crap, this is insane. What's going on here?
I think there were a few times that one of the hardest things to sort of cope with is when it happens to you. At the moment it happens, you look at it and you think, this was real. I can't believe this. That was a ghost. The morning after, you sit back and you think about it more and you think, hang on, was it? Did I really see that? Did I really feel that? The only time it happened that really made me question it was when Stuart was in. It was in the Ancient Ram Inn.
Okay.
And we were in one room, and he got taken off his feet, and he was just screaming at the top of his voice, because he said something hit him, so I dragged him out of the room, and he actually quit the show after that. Now, it was horrific to see, because Stuart's an extremely good friend of mine, and when something's happening to someone that you love that dearly, and you can't, you can't help them because you can't see what's happening. You can't see who's doing it.
Right.
You feel very helpless. It was about two or three days later that he called me up and he actually said, I'm quitting the show. I can't do it anymore. I went around to see him and his whole body was covered in these massive welts, these big bruises, like he'd just been punched constantly with them. I think it was about 23 of them on his body.
Wow.
And that made me think again. That made me think, hang on, what are we actually doing here? This has happened. It's happened to a very dear friend of mine, someone I trust explicitly, and I've seen it happen, and now he wants to quit the show. And because of that, about sort of a month, 6 weeks later, basically his hair fell out. And that's why if you see Stuart now, he's actually completely bald all over. He's out of the nerves. It's alopecia. Well,
alopecia majora?
Because of that.
Wow,
and then a lot of people have said, oh, he shaved his head.
Well, that's interesting, because Gail Porter from the TV show Dead Famous, which is also pretty famous out there, suffered the same kind of fate. I mean, that's a really strange coincidence.
I think it's that shock that sometimes you may not be able to cope with at the time or whatever. It's I mean, I know Gail, a lot was going on in her life anyway with because she had a lot of personal problems, and I think her hair's slowly starting to come back now. I mean, I've been Gail for some years, so it's sort of in strands and stuff. But with Stuart, nothing, absolutely nothing. And the poor lad, it took him a long time to sort of cope with that. And I mean, I think he looks a lot better without hair, to tell you the truth.
Well, Tim and I believe the same thing. Since we're both bald, we totally agree. Bald is better.
Hey,
so.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. I'm catching up rapidly.
I've seen your pictures. Don't lie to me.
No, I'm telling you, every time I see one of those high wide shots from the back, I'm thinking, what is that shining back at me? It's my head.
It's just an orb. Just tell yourself it's an orb.
But that orb's getting bigger and bigger by the show.
Let me ask you this. Now you we talked to Yvette. She's very jumpy on the show and has been for so long, and she's afraid of so many of the dark things. So many experts have told us that having, especially dealing with a Ouija board, can really open up a lot of negative things to come through because you don't know who you're getting on the other end of that line. Do you believe that you're offering that you could be causing some trauma or problems for yourself by doing that and inviting that negative source in? Do you feel that there's any any concern that you should have about that?
That's such a good question, because I'm very skeptical about Ouija boards, purely because I know that you need the energy of everyone touching the glass, but it's very difficult when that glass is moving to think, is it micromotor muscular movement that's moving it or starting to move it? Something we're not aware of.
Right.
Are we subconsciously moving it without knowing that we're moving it because we want it to move? And there's all of those sort of psychological reasons for it moving. And nothing bad has happened to us from it, or certainly to me from it.
Carl, you've had people get scratched and smacked and possessed, and of course we've discussed the possession may not be real, but you've had people attacked by things, and that is indicative of what so many people say happens by opening conduits with a Ouija board.
I agree. I mean, and absolutely, that maybe that is the reason. I mean, I kind of think a lot of the scratches and stuff that have happened seem to have been when we haven't been doing the Ouija boards. Are the people basically saying that because you've opened up the Ouija board, it can come at any time?
Well, yeah, because what the belief is a Ouija board, it's like you picking up your telephone and just dialing a random number, and whoever answers, you just start talking to them. You don't know if you've got a nice person or if you've got, you know, Charles Manson on the other end of that line, and what information they're going to give you. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it lies? You know, and then once you've opened yourself up to them, and you know, especially using mediums and psychics that allow it to come through them, a lot of times it'll become an attachment. So I was just curious if you had any thoughts on that at all. But I mean, you're pretty clear, like you said, you're not even quite sure how it works or why. So.
Yeah. But what you've just said, I mean, that makes an awful lot of sense, because right. if that is, if the belief is that we are opening something that could be that clear, then it is something to be kind of afraid of. My problem with me is I actually need to be picked up and thrown across the room, not by somebody else, but by some invisible force
right.
that's not there. And then I can sit there and say, well, okay, yeah, calm down. I'm going to cut back on the Ouija boards.
Right, exactly. I can quit any time. I can quit any time.
I could quit. I'm going to cut down to 10 a day.
Carl, I appreciate that you and Yvette spent time with us this evening. We're at the end of the show here. After we hang up, I'd like you to hold on for a second. But I want to just recommend everybody tune in this Friday, June 1st, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Travel Channel. It's going to be an unprecedented 7-hour live investigation of Eastern State Penitentiary with Yvette and Carl and David Wells and the rest of the Most Haunted team will be there investigating it live. You can interact with them on your cell phones through texting, on the internet by watching and being a part of the show as well. So make sure that you check that out. And also keep an eye on Travel Channel for all the updated new episodes that will be coming out on Most Haunted. We want to thank our guests, Yvette Fielding and Carl Beattie, for joining us this evening. We want to thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back again next week with a brand new show. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you again real soon.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.